Now, I should have indicated that we'll read through verse 18, so 1 through 18 of John chapter 20, and then we'll consider three final questions. This again is God's Word, John 20, and I'll start by reading verse 1 and the congregation on every other verse. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. And Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen.
Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed.
They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead.
And the disciples went back to their homes.
But Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb
and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot.
They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken away my Lord," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him."
And as she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus.
"Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him."
Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher.
Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God."
Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that she had said it.
Congregation, let's ask the Lord's help as we continue this morning. Let's pray. Our Father, now we thank you for the glorious things that we have already seen and heard and been reminded of and have been taught again by you. Heavenly Father, it is a glorious day to remember and celebrate his resurrection. But now, Lord, we pray you also that as you are teaching us, we will see the need of that response which comes from us. And Lord, we pray that you'd bless us to be ready to answer, for we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Are you aware? Each of the final three questions begin that way. Are you aware? There is a significance to that reality of awareness. It means something intellectually, doesn't it? It means that in my life I've been taught certain things. I have a knowledge of certain things. I look at the world in a certain way. I can draw conclusions. The first thing about which we need to consider awareness is a sad thing. Are you aware that despite God's written record, many people don't believe? Now, there's something of that in the text itself, isn't there? We saw hints of it in the four accountings of the resurrection. We saw the indication of disbelief. We see it here in John with Mary after these amazing things. There she is weeping. Now, beloved, we need to understand this disbelief rightly, that is appropriately in its context. And I would say to us that we need to understand that this disbelief was for the moment. It does not give anyone today the right to say, well, look, they didn't believe. Because it was for the moment. Those first few moments. Today, we do not live in those moments. Stop thinking that you might. They didn't have the full revelation yet. They didn't have in their hands and on their shelves in their homes, and some of them carrying to church all the pages bound up in a book. The written word of God in its entirety. We have got to make in the church today, and as people who have had the word, we have got to make a distinction between then and now. The full revelation of God has been available for generations. Today we can even have it in our pockets. Literally, if you have a phone. Have you ever practiced just standing in line waiting for something and scrolling through the Bible on your phone? You could have the whole of the Bible and even so many more books. Do we today, the church, grieve about how many people refuse to listen? It's an important question. It's not the only one. It's not even the last one, but it is important. Now, in terms of Mary herself, here in John, we see that hers was a deep grief that her momentary unbelief led to. Sometimes you see that in people, don't you? It's usually a grief about a situation in their lives, a hopelessness. A fear about the future, a doubting about a diagnosis, a concern about a family member, a continued downward trend. The more we look at the news and watch what is going on, just not in Ukraine itself, but in so many places, a kind of disbelief grips people, and we understand something of that. But then do we say to them, look, it is written. And we turn open Matthew or Mark or Luke or John to the very end of each of those gospel records, and we say to them, now look here, turn your eyes to this book because I want to show something to you. And we show them the pages of the scripture and we read with them and we say, look, life has overcome death. Jesus has conquered sin and death and hell. And so we sometimes do face discouragements in this life. We need not disbelieve, but rather we can believe despite what comes. Now, I say all that, I'm not just trying to encourage us in an evangelistic approach or say to us, this is something we ought to consider saying to other people. But, beloved, I am saying this is something we need to speak to ourselves. Because that first question is going to remain until the Lord Jesus returns. What I mean is, you will always be able to find people who, even though they could read the written account, they don't believe. And the church could get very discouraged about that. We have to understand God's sovereignty in these things as well. Let's be brutally honest. I've been told in my almost 2 years now of being here of a different day in this building, in this room. I've been told of the times when you had to come early if you wanted to get your favorite pew, and you had to maybe sometimes sit in another place because every spot was filled. We've heard those accounts. We know that. And sometimes it leads us to think, well, how come people don't believe? Why are they rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ? Why is it they only come and be involved when it's convenient and comfortable and not demanding? And all of those questions are important, but finally they are God's to answer, not ours. It will be the case until the Lord Jesus Christ returns that many people won't believe. Are you aware? What I mean is, does that fit into your theology of the sovereignty of God? Let it not discourage us unduly, beloved. And especially because of the second thing, are you aware that Jesus loves to bring his people to saving faith? I have to admit, of the four accountings of the gospel, John is my favorite, and perhaps mostly because of this last section. It is incredibly sweet. Look at verse 13. They've taken away my Lord, she said, and I don't know where they have put him. At this, verse 14, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. How could she not? We don't know. How could the disciples walking the Emmaus Road not know that they were being taught as their hearts were burning within them, being taught by Jesus himself? We don't know. We're not told. Mary doesn't know. Verse 15, woman, he said, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for? Why does he ask her that question when he knows? Is your mind just boggled by that? We might put it another way. Are you filled with a new sweetness for the care, the pastoral care of the Lord Jesus Christ at this most crucial moment? He asks her the question that she must answer. Why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for? He loves to bring his people to saving faith. It's his interest today by the ministry of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You want proof of that? Thinking he was the gardener, she said, sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him and I will get him. Well, she's ready for the devotion, isn't she? She's ready. She's committed. She wants to serve, yet though she believes he's dead. Do you want to see that Jesus today loves to bring his people to saving faith? Jesus said to her, Mary. Now ponder that question a minute. The one that she asked, where is he? I'll deal with him. And his answer, she didn't know who he was. She supposed he was the gardener, but then he speaks her name, Mary. Beloved, we need to understand, we need to be aware that the Lord Jesus Christ knows exactly who his people are, and he will not fail in bringing them to saving faith. He knows his sheep by name. They know him. He calls them. They hear his voice, and they follow him. What John wrote there in John chapter 10 about the voice of the shepherd and the people following him, he here now proves in John chapter 20 of Mary hearing Jesus speak her name, and she follows him. The Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, church, we need to believe something. Are you aware of this? That the Lord Jesus Christ loves to bring his people to saving faith. Do not doubt or disbelieve about that family member you've been praying for, that neighbor who today, there are some around this very church building on different streets connected to our church street, who are in their homes happily thinking they're doing just fine, ignoring the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do not stop praying for them, but rather believe that Jesus, much more than we, loves to bring his people to saving faith. Thirdly, are you aware that professing the resurrected Jesus Christ is required? It is required. We, every human being alive today, we are given the four gospel records, plus all the rest of the Bible, because there's a reason we're given the whole of the scriptures today. And the because is, we are commanded to believe. Can I put that personally? You are commanded to believe in the resurrected Jesus Christ. You had to believe that he was alive and then truly died at the cross. He was placed dead in the tomb and on the third day really raised to life, to be alive forevermore. Now, what I just stated was a biblically, theologically accurate statement. And you can say, oh, well, I mentally understood you, Pastor. I've heard it before. I grasp it. I get it. But do you profess it? Is it something that comes from the core of your being? Because you see, it's not just an intellectual statement. It's not just a factual, accurately assessment of things. But it is something that can only be believed and professed by faith. The resurrected Jesus Christ. Because the world will say, well, that's impossible. When somebody's dead, they're dead. And oh, by the way, the world sure loves to live that way, don't they? I better get as much as I can right now and do as much as I can right now and spend as much as I can right now and live as much as I can right now because I'm going to die someday and then it'll all be over. So when the Christian, when the church then actually by faith professes the resurrection, they're saying, world, you're wrong. This life is not all there is. There's resurrection. And we too are going to stand before God and have to give an answer to these things, to the questions we're assessing this morning that the pastor asked you that Sunday, Easter in church that day. Do I profess the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? And God will answer, ask us, how did you answer that question? In church, April 17th of 2022. Not your family, not your grandparents, not the other people in church. Not how did they answer the question. How did you answer the question? Do I profess the resurrected Jesus Christ, miracle of miracles, told to me in the Bible, which I must believe? Do I profess him? Forever hangs in the balance, which is why he was raised from the dead. You've heard it probably said often that we have to have both the cross and the empty tomb, but beloved, you see why? Oh, I ask you, do you see why? If we say, well, there is Jesus dead for us, died on the cross, but not Jesus raised again on the third day, we have no hope of anything after this life raised for us. Are you aware that professing the resurrected Christ is required? Amen. Lord, we come before you this glorious Lord's Day morning, and we pray that you will have dealt with our hearts today about questions which no one else might ask us. The doctor at the doctor's office won't ask us these questions. The social worker won't ask. The governmental official won't ask. Maybe even our family members sometimes won't ask, but you have asked us today. And we pray you, Lord, that we have answered honestly, and that we might again glory in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the whole of our hope. Bless us, Lord, and give us honesty. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.